Good evening, please call to order. This is the meeting of the Newcastle County Council Executive Committee meeting. Council President Bullock, who would normally chair this committee meeting, is away traveling, and I am in his stead. Present for this meeting is Councilwoman Kilpatrick, Councilman Tackett, Councilman Bell, Councilman Powers.
Sheldon, not Tackett.
I'm sorry, Sheldon.
Sheldon Tackett.
Not Tackett.
And...
Not Tackett.
Councilmember Smalls, Councilmember Cartier, Councilmember Diller, Councilmember Redder, I'm Councilman Hollins, and taking the minutes for this afternoon's meeting is my legislative aide, Nikai Trailer. Approval of the minutes for the November 25th meeting, is there a motion?
So moved.
Second favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Been moved and second and approved that the minutes for the November 25th meeting are adopted. The first item on the agenda for discussion is regarding the Farmland Preservation Advisory Board. And I was told by the policy director that this was requested by President Bullock and his aide. They've done the research on it. I don't know anything at all about it. It was suggested that maybe we hold this discussion when President Bullock is back.
So moved.
I don't know if that's agreeable. Is that what council members...
So moved.
If they did it, they did the legwork on it, I think they should be here to discuss it.
Very well. So we will move on to item number 4 on the printed agenda, and that is discussion and vote regarding additional email and electronic storage. That was requested by...
That was requested by myself.
Oh, that's right. That's requested by the policy director.
Motion on John.
Thank you very much. So we will turn our attention to the policy director for this presentation. And also let me recognize that Councilman Street is also present.
Okay. Give you the purpose of the proposed project is to acquire new email and electronic document storage capabilities in addition to what's provided by the county IS unit. This is has been hanging around for a number of quite a while. It has been requested by a number of council members to explore and also members of staff. So basically what I'm looking at here is that we have a whole system, okay? The system we have right now with IS, we have email capabilities. We also have various type of programs that are provided to us by IS. Some of them very customized, very expensive to license. Also, I believe we get pretty good service when they come and have to make repairs and so on and so forth. We pay a cross charge of that right now, FY15 of about $96,000. Okay. But it, again, it's been suggested for various reasons that we have additional email and storage. And what I'm proposing is, and it, you can look at it two ways. What I'm proposing is that we have both the county email, if you prefer to use it, if that's a council member or staff member, and if you also have the option of using the other email or storage that we would acquire. The first step to moving along on here, in order to get the emails, it needs a parking place. The parking place is a web host and a domain. Web hosts are companies that provide space on a server leased by clients as well as providing internet connectivity. The domain is the organization's unique name. In this case, we would say nccouncil.org. What I've done was explore two examples of pricing of two web hosts. Roughly, the one offers unlimited, what they call an unlimited entrepreneurs and freelance program, would cost $12.42 per month, or $149 a year. Again, this is just a parking place. This is not all the email. This is just a place to park. Now, this will provide us a website. Now, The intention is not to use that website. The intention is to use that as a static in order to find basically a home for the emails. The person who I've talked to on this, who's basically worked here before, Brian Holweider, did the same project for the new company he works for. And again, he had so many emails, they provided a web host for a static page just for the emails. HostGator is another one, is a business plan. That's $14 a month and $140 annually. This price includes unlimited storage bandwidth. And again, this is not relating to the storage as we see it for what we need, because right now what we have is, if a legislative aide here, he has the option of putting things on what we refer to as a shared drive, which is referred to as a G drive. Anybody here can get into that particular drive. Or you have personal drives on your email that can go into the network, and that is the storage. This is a different type of storage, but I'll get into the other part. The applications, we've looked at two cloud-based storage applications, which is Google and Microsoft. The Google, which is, now, it may interrupt. I've talked to the Google representatives. I've also talked to our IS people. They've highly recommended the Google, but I did want to show you a comparison. That's $10 a month. $10 a month. We have 34 users. We have 32 people here. The auditor has two people. Okay, 34 total, $340 a month, or $4,080 annual. And what you get, if possible, we'll get our Gmail. Each person gets Gmail. Each person gets a calendar. They get a Docs program, which is real time for documents, spreadsheets, presentations, and it converts into Microsoft Word or Microsoft programs and so on and so forth. It lets users create and share their own project websites or an internet. You can create groups. Very important part here, archiving and e-discovery tools optionally available and consist with legal discovery, regulatory and compliance audits, as well as internal investigations. This particular program, unlimited storage. Each person gets as much as they want. Now, what I have asked, and I talked to the Google representatives, is in addition to each one of these, and I still haven't got that particular number, and I don't think it's going to be astronomical, is that in addition to each 34 people having their own storage capabilities, there will be one large shared drive. I believe it's, at this point right now, whereas we have more than five users, any account we have is unlimited storage. So I don't think it's going to be a large cost on top. Advanced administrative audit and reporting insights for drive content. We have that now. Google Vault, easily search exports for different formats. We talked about that. Okay. Now, that was the Google. On the Microsoft, we have a monthly payment of $15 a month. Again, 34 use, $6,000 a year. This is the one that was not recommended by our own people. Reason being is sometimes that particular program has its ups and downs, it has its flaws. Okay, but you have your Office Suite, your Word, Excel, your Office goes on PCs, iPads, phones. Now, most of the phones we have and the tablets we have are not Microsoft. They're iPads. So I don't know what the capabilities are here. Email and calendars, online conferencing, instant messaging, the Skype, and basically the same programs that comes if you bought a laptop and the programs that come with them. And, you know, social network, and we're back to search and discovery and the team sites. Basically, what was recommended was that we go with Google, okay, talking to the person, okay, talking to Mr. Hoblinger, who did this for his company, they went with Google, okay? I talked to our IS people, they told me to go with Google. Obviously, the Google people are going to tell me to go with Google, but that's been the more successful program. The cost of share drive, again, is really unknown. What you're looking at right now is a cost to increase our budget anywhere from $4,200 a year to $7,000 a year. It's probably going to run, I would say, if you want to ask me off the top of my head, about $4,800 a year to supply the 34 users right now.
Councilman Smalley.
You did say you had an option of staying with what you have.
Yes.
Okay. Calculate your numbers at 33. I'm fine. I got nothing.
So, are you done with the presentation, Jim?
Screw it, Dark.
My question would be, is this to provide an option to the council members who chose to remove themselves from the system that is now accessible by the executive branch of government?
As I said, you have one of two options. What I could do is I could take everybody off email and off the storage, okay, which was talked about. I think what the easiest thing would be to do is just have that additional cost, is everybody would have an option in order to use either one they want at any time, where, except in case of Councilman Smiley, he doesn't want it. But let's just say, for instance, myself, I can use my Microsoft Outlook, okay, my county one, if I so prefer for a subject. I can also go into, and let's say I'm dealing something with the legal counsel, and I don't want it to go into that system, I can put it into my Google, into my storage, and type up the document and save it into a storage, into Google, into a cloud, which they would not have access to.
I guess I'm trying to identify what's the real benefit for any member of council. And the other thing I'm thinking about is that there are certain things that we are not allowed to do as elected officials here as it relates to political campaigns. And there are other instances when, if there's a legal challenge, that this information may have to be accessed to go into whatever emails and all those kind of things that may relate to a legal challenge. So I'm trying to see what the real benefit is without convoluting the question, I guess, which I've already done.
Well, just is, I think, and I'd have to refer to council, is even though it's separate, it's still a government, it's a county,
right,
service.
So you still have certain,
so we still have to comply with the same laws, FOIA laws, okay, as if it was the normal Microsoft. It's just that we would have, probably the only difference is we would have to comply with our own FOIA request, rather than going through the law department and complying with the law FOIA request. Am I correct on that?
Carol Dolan, Council, we do answer our own FOIA requests at this time, but to your point, we would certainly have to follow e-discovery rules with the courts to cooperate with the law department. So there would have to be an archiving and retrieval mechanism to whatever system that we
which
have.
Which is provided for, right, in the two programs.
Right. And I'm sorry, I had a question. Did you say that we could also do like attorney-client privileged legal documents on there as well as email?
I believe there was an e-discovery, okay?
But not Microsoft Word documents?
You can still use the Microsoft Word that you have that would be provided to you by the county.
Right.
You would just save it into, rather than save it on your P drive that you would now, okay, you would save it in that Google Cloud.
Okay.
Now you can put it in your own cloud, you can share your drive, your private drive, or you can put it in the total share drive.
I don't have to bring my grandson in to do my shit.
Talking to the group, the only issue that would be is transferring the information, if they so want to. Transferring the information right now that is on the drive to the cloud. That would run it's a one-time cost of $18 a person, or we can just get one person to do it and transfer the stuff over for $18. But we have unlimited space on each one of these. All you gotta do is, whatever we wanna move over, we can move over. So if there's legal documents, let's say you're saving on your P-Roll, you can move them over into the cloud.
Okay, I get the Councilman Street. Let me slow down for a second, because several council members have raised their hands. Councilmember Bell, Councilmember Redder, Bell, Kilpatrick, Diller, and Street. So I want to slow down enough to allow these five council members to ask their questions. Redder, Bell, Kilpatrick, Diller, Street.
Thank you. Jim, with this, I know several people here have it, I have it, on my home computer, where I get my email, you know, in the Outlook.
Correct.
And the Xmail.
Correct.
Would that apply to this also?
You can get it through the internet. It's internet-based. So you, like anything else, it would be like going into Facebook. All you'd have to do is have your password and internet into the terminal.
Councilmember Bell?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I guess this is kind of like the, in a sense, I watched that shark show on TV where someone makes a presentation. I kind of listened to the presentation. I personally, along with Councilman Smiley, and I've heard a few others, but you know, I don't see for the cost a real tremendous benefit to us. I think that what we have today is more open and transparent, and it serves the purpose of our office. So for that reason, I'm out.
Thank you very much. Councilwoman Kilpatrick.
I'm jealous.
Thank you. I have a couple of questions. Obviously, this came up because we felt that somebody was going into many of our emails. Although we've never had, to my knowledge, the systems checked to see if that was actually going on or not. When I first came on council, we had some discussion about a signed agreement with, I think it was County Executive Coons, where they agreed that they would not look at our emails. That, I understand, has not been re-signed by the current county executive. So every time we push that little OK button to open it up, we're giving them permission to look at our emails. Rather than going through a whole system, is there a way that that can be changed? Would be question number one. The other one is, I'm going to say that most of us access our Newcastle County website through the web, at home, on our phones, whatever it is. The things that we don't want the world to know, we all have private emails and we use those private emails. If they are accessing my Newcastle County, because we have to go through their server, so if I'm going in through the web, they still have the ability to go back and look at my Newcastle County emails through my private computer. Once they're in my private computer looking at the Newcastle County emails that go through the server, do they also have the ability to get to my private email?
From my knowledge right now, my discussions with them, at this current time, no.
Okay.
They have a program which they refer to as NetMotion. And it's a long story. We were paying for that NetMotion, and I questioned the cross charge on that program. Okay, and it turned out I was paying for 34 people and only 3 people were using it. Okay, and somehow it interrelates with who's got a laptop.
Okay.
But from my understanding from NetMotion, one person tells me that they cannot get into the private computers. Other people on the outside tell me you can. At this point right now, only two people. Okay, the third person we gave the laptop back.
But, okay, so just to follow up.
What?
So if somebody is good enough, they're going to be able to hack my private email no matter what, right?
Anybody can hack anything if they're good enough.
Right, if they're good enough. So what security does this, another system within Newcastle County, give us that we don't have now?
The only thing you have, you know, is that your password protected.
Which I supposedly am on my private email for anything other than the general junk that comes through.
But legally, okay, legally they probably do not have access, should have access to your
private.
Your private email.
Right.
Okay. In this case, okay, this system is theirs. Okay.
Right.
That Outlook program is paid for by them.
Right.
We just rent in a sense. Okay. So yes, they.
So the courtesy would be not to go into our emails. We have supposedly gone beyond that, since there is no written agreement and it is their system, they have the right to go in. I just personally, I don't know that this buys us what we might be looking for. I mean, if we're looking to be completely private and not have anybody go into our system, then we need to completely break. And I don't know if that's worth it. I mean, how many things go on in email, in the county email system, that you would be afraid to have the county executive look at other than the legal things? And
if there was a complete break, just to give you an idea, okay? Now we're talking software, hardware, clouds, you know, Wi-Fi contracts, internet contracts, so on and so forth. Okay, just give you an example. You would probably have to hire somebody just to maintain this. Now,
right.
Let's just say, for
right.
example, we paid that person $50,000, and the benefit rate right now is around 50%. So that's $75,000 right there. I'm paying $92,000 right now to IS.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's not counting, for instance, certain. All the licenses for the software, for instance, a tier program, which about five of us have access to, which is a budget program, is about $6,000 a year alone just in the licensing. Okay, not counting Hanson, for payroll.
PeopleSoft.
Okay. Then you have your more, and some of us have certain Adobe programs that, you know, or still have the licenses for it. The Wi-Fi contracts, the internet contracts, and be honest with you, the service we have right now from the basic IS people is pretty good. Okay? If one of my printers break here, somebody comes up the next day and they give us a new printer or they fix the one we got. I had a problem with this today. I called yesterday, somebody came today. Okay? Overall, well worth the $92,000.
Right.
My opinion, meager as it is, but again, the request was as some type of, it related to security.
Right.
And there's been a large concern for security, and there are certain documents that may have been that other people who shouldn't have access had access to those documents.
Right. I just don't know that this.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Does it?
I'm not certain about that myself, but personally, I joined with Councilman Street and Councilman Bell, and I'm going to live
Smiley.
With what
you're in
Councilman
here.
Smiley and Councilman Bell. I'm going to live.
Peter.
I'm going to live with what we have. I don't have anything that's sensitive that I have to be so concerned about protecting it. Councilwoman Dillard and Councilman Street.
I would love this system for a couple of reasons. One is it gets us off the Microsoft treadmill. Once you get on Google Docs, you're able to pull things in from Microsoft Word, but you know, or Excel or PowerPoint or whatever, but the thing is, it's free. When we have to replace computers, you go to a Chromebook, which is about $200. If you go to, you know, something like Google, it will, in the long run, dramatically reduce your costs for the sorts of services that we've been paying a lot of money for. I think, you know, in the future, this is the way to go. You know, I've started my kid on a Chromebook because I think it just makes sense for kids to be able to do that. If, you know, if I can operate the Chromebook, anybody here can do that. But it gets us off the Microsoft treadmill. It gets us away from paying for software. It becomes incredibly inexpensive when we need to replace hardware. And, you know, not everybody has to move at once, but it makes a lot of sense from the standpoint of looking at the future of where this council is thinking about going in terms of, in terms of, you know, internet support. I'd love to go to it. I think it's great.
Councilman Street?
Will of council be the will of council. I looked at my emails yesterday. I got 6,700 emails. I don't know how to erase them. So I'm going to have to get one of the kids to send them to show me what I need to do about that.
Just get a new computer.
Second, you just opening up. Now it's going to cost twice as much to do an investigation as it does now because you got two sets of emails to look at instead of one. And three, I can tell the administration or anybody else I'm going to sue somebody else so you can look at those emails, the other emails, and the only thing you're going to find there is, yeah, I'm getting ready to sue somebody. So what? Now you know it. My point being, this is just a waste of money. And when I had a problem yesterday with my technically inept self, I called the help desk and they took care of it right away. So thank you very much. So, 1, 2, 3, 4, I'm happy with what I have and hope to keep this emails for me.
The only thing I will say is that I think we're a direction we're coming from on this is the legal and the audit area, okay, where there is confidential information. I, like you, you want to read my emails, you go right ahead, okay? If I don't want to save it on my hard drive, I'm going to put it on an external hard drive. And I do that, okay? But, you know, there has been access into our drives. Okay, there has been access into our emails.
Well, can I say this? I'm going to defer to Clark Gable on that, and I'm sure Sony thought that they couldn't be broken into. So if Sony got broken into, ooh-wee. If somebody wants to get in bad enough, they're gonna get in, they're going to find out. If you don't want anybody to know about it, don't write it.
Got military command yesterday.
Councilman Powers, Councilman Smalley, Councilman Tackett.
Fine.
And it's 5 o'clock,
I'm
just
out.
As a reminder.
I'm out.
Yeah.
And I just want to say, I wasn't going to say anything else, but I am going to comment, because, and I've said this before, I don't have an issue with it. When I got elected to office, one of the documents I signed over at HR was a document granting them the authority to check my voicemails and my emails. They have a signed release by me over there. That's one of the documents that was put in front of me. I read it. I knew what it meant. I knew what it meant then. I know what it means now. It's on file. I don't know if anybody else got it or didn't read it, but that was part of the package when I came into office at HR. I mean, I know I can always rescind it with a letter, but I don't care.
Councilman Taggart?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, I'm a little bit indifferent either way, but my concern is more so what's been going on over in our IT, you know, for quite a while. It doesn't seem to happen like at the state or the other offices, but our emails that get blocked, we'll find that we're not getting email from constituents because they got on, you know, put in spam somehow. We find out that our emails aren't reaching out there because we were on some kind of a blacklist of some kind out there that got like created. Jim's gotten back to us now. I'm like, what in the world is going on with that? I mean, our IT department just is not, shouldn't be operating like that. I mean, we're a government and we can't get out many times and engage our public because of silly things that are going over in IT, you know, and with the magnitude of money that we have over there in a whole department, it seems a little bit ridiculous. I'm not sure this is fixing it. That's why I'm saying I don't know.
Yeah, I think that deserves further discussion.
Exactly.
You know, if that is the case. Jim, you have answers to that? You know about the blacklist?
Yes, I do. And I know about the internet.
That's been executive session.
We hired a Korean.
Thirsty
people.
All
right.
We all?
Okay.
Well, I we had problems with the internet, okay, where it just went blank. We couldn't get anything for days. Okay, the story I got was there was one particular person who made an arrangement that the way it was set up right now, certain parts of the internet were done by an outside vendor. Okay, this particular person decided that it was going to be done inside, which there was not enough capacity in order to handle, okay, what they were bringing back in. As a result, okay, everything went down. Every Wi-Fi in the county went down. It just blew the system. So in the meantime, it took a couple days to get another vendor or the same vendor back. Okay. The blacklisting, I'm not too sure, but basically somebody made some adjustments, okay, to the security measures within our system, okay, which basically blacklisted it, and it took IS quite a while in order to fix. Again, one person made a decision. Okay. That this may have been the wrong decision, right decision, I'm not going to say. But that was the result. The result was the blacklisting.
And it's not like we need to bring IS in.
Well, I'm trying to as clean as possible. I'm trying to keep it as low key as possible.
Well, it happened a couple times. Not just one.
Yes, you're right.
Let me go to the auditor and then to counsel for a minute, please. Mr. Wasserbach.
Yeah, Bob Wasserbach, county auditor. I don't know how you're going to vote on this, but I just wanted to go on the record that I don't like myself having every day when I sign on to the system to get into the network, I got to click the box saying I agree to let the administration look at whatever they want to look at. But that's what I need to do to get into that network. But regardless of what you decide, I use my laptop and any confidential documents I keep on here. I don't use the county storage for confidential documents because I don't want them looked at. And I use my personal email for any confidential emails that I don't want the administration to look at. I don't like having to do that, but I'll continue to do that.
Thank you.
Hi, Carol Dillon, Council to Council. I just wanted to clarify something. There was an agreement that was written by our policy director in, I think, 2002, and it was during the first Gordon administration, and it was sent over. There was some back and forth, and it was put together and finalized, but it was signed by then-President Coons. It was never signed by the administration. Certainly, that agreement still exists. I still have it. It's certainly something that could be sent over in the interest of separation of powers, which is really bigger than any one individual. This is a separate branch of government. I can't imagine that the Delaware Supreme Court, for instance, permits the General Assembly or the Governor's Office to review their work or their emails. So this is a concept, and it's certainly not my decision to make, but the people who founded this in 1964 determined that these were supposed to be separate and completely distinct branches of government, separate from each other, again, bigger than one person, me, anything else. But not too long ago, when the subject came up, I did recirculate the agreement, which certainly would be a simple thing to sign. I'm not going to review the emails or the work product of County Council, the legislative branch of government. And the other thing I circulated was a suggested disclaimer. We have our own policy where we can monitor emails if there is excessive use of the computer during work time, etc. And what I wrote was County Council has access to the emails, etc., of its employees. So it would be a very simple thing to have two separate disclaimers, and one of them not being that another one branch has the opportunity to review the emails and the work product of another branch of government. So I do have that material if anyone's interested.
You know, I remember you doing this before, and it's a matter of council not taking action. I mean, this does go back to the previous Gordon administration, and Council to Council did circulate that information to us where the agreement was never signed. It seems to me that if we're that concerned, the simplistic answer would be to take the legal route and have them sign the documentation that they will not, in fact, go into our emails. I mean, why would we spend whatever amount of money to protect us if that's a concern? So they just don't do it. Would seem to me to be the answer.
Just a quick question. I mean, on that very subject, just for clarity, how much money are we talking about as opposed to what we're currently paying, and I guess what the additional amount would be or the lesser amount would be?
We're paying $92,000 right now in cross charges, and it's probably going to go up a little bit.
Is that per person or for the entire council?
That's for the entire unit. That's an audit. No, I'm sorry. That's an included audit. That's just legislative, $92,000 a year. So you're probably talking about another, about $4,500 on top of the $92,000.
Which will provide us with a separate email system?
Yes.
$4,500, thank you.
And I have talked to, just in case, we'd have to get a separate PO. It would be ours. I've already talked to the head of administrative services, the head of IS, okay, and there shouldn't be any problem with the PO.
But that wouldn't reduce our cost if people bought into
$4,500? No, because we're going to have, the proposal is to have both systems.
That's the issue. Thank you.
Councilwoman Kilpatrick.
Thank you. I think that I agree at this point, rather than going forward with anything. I agree with Councilman Hollins that we should take the legal route. We should send it over. When it comes back signed, great. If it comes back not signed, then we figure out legally what the next step is. And if there's truly a separation of powers and we end up having to have some court decision, then we have some court decision. I think we need to be free of believing that anybody is going into our emails and that they are not private, but I think that we can go through every system out there that we want, and if somebody wants to get into it, they're going to get into it. So let's have some legal decision on whether they're allowed to or not. So I'm with you on the first step.
Councilman Street, then I'll get to you.
Pass.
You say you passed, Councilman Street?
Yes.
Okay, Councilman Redder, then County Attorney Papakaya.
Thank you. Jim, with this additional $4,700, with what we have...
$4,500.
Right. Whatever. I agree with Councilwoman Kilpatrick and Councilman Hollins that we should go to the legal route, but if we don't and we want to go with the $4,700, and that we still have the $92,000 that we're paying, do we still get all the benefits with that $92,000? Like if a computer goes down, they can fix it.
That's
so
correct.
This is just an additional.
This is always an additional.
It's just on top of what we're getting now.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
County Attorney Papakaya.
Yes. Good afternoon, once again, Council Bernard Papakaya, County Attorney. I just wanted to say that I know there's seems to be a heightened degree of caution towards the administration. I just wanted to put on the record that I don't know of or anticipate everything that I have been exposed to has always suggested that the county executive has not authorized anyone on the administration to go through emails. I certainly know of no particular incident. And I know that something went on with Mr. Boyle, but I don't know of any intent. I just wanted to put that on the record, just you know, just as a clarification. And I'm not speaking about anybody else's actions one way or the other. I'm just saying that every conversation I've ever had with the county executive has not in any way indicated his desire to go through council's email. So I just wanted to put that on.
I'm not aware of that myself either. I just think it gives council members some assurance by simply signing the document. I don't understand why that would be controversial. Councilmember Cartier?
Yeah, I, you know, my former aide did a lot of, you know, background work and assisted Jim Boyle before he left us. And I mean, the thing that kind of gave impulse to this was the issue of confidentiality. And I'm confident that, you know, the cloud that exists today with the Google vendor, we can achieve a tremendous amount of confidentiality. You can also get a great service, degree of service, virtually unlimited storage, all the requirements under FOIA for document search and meeting legal requirements for researching emails and so forth. That can all be achieved and at a very low cost. And frankly, I think the model of IS that we have and throughout New Castle County now is an obsolete model.
Right.
And whether we decide to go with this as an additional service, that's up to the members of council. But it seems that the whole, you know, way that organizations get software services, governments, businesses, and all is going in this direction. And, you know, it can result in tremendous savings and service the needs of this council and the county in a general sense, you know, our needs for confidentiality to be a separate branch of government. But we have, you know, the idea of still remaining with the service that is provided, you know, to us currently, and then kind of layering this on top. It's what people want to do, and I just think, you know, the whole issue of the cloud needs to be researched as a general matter for this county and how we handle our, you know, software technology needs.
Thank you, Councilman. Did you want to speak again, Jim?
I'm going to try to put this as diplomatically as possible. Yes, I did have a problem with IS. Okay. To tell you my story, okay, this is the where I got here, okay, is, and I'll be honest with you, okay, I just, like everybody else here says, I'm a little bit more, I'm more aware of what I send out now, but about over a year ago, there, one of the councilmen, Councilman Weiner, proposed that we put a, set up a whole new network, okay. What came out of it was basically an agreement with the administration that, you know, they would not go into our servers and so on and so forth. Now, I have or had the ability to audit those drives, okay, and see who was on the drives. At one point, I believe it was about over a year ago, okay, I did an audit on one of those drives, and a senior county official had access to our drives. I sent an email to IS and said, I want them off. I got no response. I sent it again. I got no response. The third time I sent it, I got a response. I got cut from the whole system.
Oh, jeez.
They cut me off completely. I called IS. Particular person did cut me off. Now, Mr. Pepperkai is correct here. When I had a problem, the person I went to, the two people I went to, who did not know about it and corrected it, was Concord and McDonald's. They corrected it. I was where they told me that morning it would take them a month to put me back in the system, and only took 1 hour after they made that phone call. But I was completely cut off the system because I asked, and my discussion with Jim McDonald was, our agreement was that you would not have access to our system, but you did.
The important thing is,
and now I cannot get it on this particular one, but if you audit that system, it'll tell you, here's groups, here's individuals, here's groups. So I don't know right now that those particular individuals are not in those groups that don't itemize. So anybody could have access to that system, even after the audit.
Councilwoman Dillard and council to council, I want to remind council that it's almost 5:20. The meeting downstairs starts at 6:30, and some council members probably ordered dinner.
Don't worry about it.
And there's another item on this agenda after this discussion. So, Councilwoman Dillard?
I'm ready to go. You know, the whole ball of wax, we're paying $92,000, and for the cost of two people here for what we're paying now, we're going to get that service? Oh, come on. I'll make the motion. I don't care if it's voted down.
Are we just talking the storage unit?
But I'm looking for the future, guys. Okay. I'm going to keep pushing.
Councilmember Bell,
we can.
You saying council to council is next? Council to council, then Councilmember Bell.
All right.
Carol Dillon, council to council. I'm sorry. To Mr. Pepukai's point, in my opinion, this really isn't about a particular executive or anyone, but I do want to remind this council that under another administration, we do our own FOIA responses, and we found out that they had retrieved the auditor's emails. And if you recall, this body said that they did not find approve of that. And it wasn't done maliciously, but they were going through all the private emails between the auditor and
the...
I'm not going to attribute malice to it. It wasn't this administration,
like,
but they were going through all of the emails of someone in this branch of government. So it has happened not just to Jim, it has happened in the past. And again, there is a principle of separation of powers that really is bigger than one person, and I it doesn't have anything to do with somebody, with some other administration or individual.
I would agree with that statement. Not to cast any stones or any doubt or whatever. If there's evidence that it occurred, there's evidence that it occurred. But to me, it's just a basic fundamental principle, the separation, and it's a simple one. I don't know why there would be a lot of controversy of signing a document of agreement that you're not actually going into the legislative branch's emails. I mean, that's a no-brainer. It's a simple thing to do. It's all of a second to get it done. So if that can't happen, then we got a much larger problem than I think we have, in my opinion. Councilman Bell, I'm sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think that a lot of good points are brought out that, you know, we're coming up on the budgetary process again. And I think that, you know, it behoove us to work with the administration and maybe make some recommendations that overall the county take a look at its information storage and things. And is there money to be saved overall budgetary? I, for one, prior to me arriving, I know that it was brought up about trying to increase our grant and aid to our communities and folks that need it, volunteer organizations that need assistance to continue. We've got youth sports programs, okay, that we can't get enough funding for. So when we talk about just a small amount of $5,000 or $6,000, that $5,000 or $6,000 goes a long way towards a youth group, or the homeless, or other areas that we've talked about. So I think that while it doesn't sound like a lot of money sometimes, if we already have the services in place and you have a legal mechanism to check and balance it, then, you know, like I said, I don't agree with it at this point in time.
Councilwoman Diller and Councilman Powers.
I'd like to make a motion that we allow Jim Boyle to go ahead and bring back a proposal for between $4,200 and $7,000 for a separate system.
Second.
Move the second that we make a motion, that we accept the motion to authorize the policy director to come back with a proposal for a separate system. Is that correct?
That is correct.
I think this is just an additional to what we have now?
Yes, yes.
This is on top of what we have now?
Yes.
Okay.
So we'd have a dual system?
Yes.
So is that not what's being presented now?
Yes.
Yes, but I'm making the motion.
She's making a motion.
And he's seconding.
For him to do this again?
Yes.
All in favor? Is the motion clear?
Call for a roll call vote.
Yep.
Call the roll, please. I'm going to get confused about who's here. Well, you just go ahead and I'll name them.
Councilman Bell.
Councilman Street, I think, wanted to be recognized.
Councilman, do you have a comment?
I have a question.
Okay.
Go right ahead.
What's the difference between the motion and what you said?
I want two systems.
Right, but not these two.
No.
One of those two you want him to choose and bring back as a solid proposal.
Yep.
So does that answer your question, Councilman Street?
Probably not, but don't matter.
Solid.
Yeah.
The proposal is to bring back one of these two in addition to the current system that we're using, in hopes that I believe council will adopt another system along with the system we have. Then council members will have an option if in fact council agrees to also adopt the other system.
You got it.
That's it.
Do I have it?
That's
okay.
It.
All right.
That's
very
it.
Wonderful.
All right. Well, thank you very much. So we'll call the roll on the motion for Mr. Boyle to come back with the proposal, and then we'll vote on the proposal at a subsequent meeting once he's back with his proposal.
Yes.
You're on the roll.
Yeah.
You're ready.
And at that meeting, we'll send him back.
Now then,
and in the meantime,
look at the other to look at some meat to put on the roll.
Councilman Bell?
No.
Councilman Cartier?
Yes.
Councilwoman Diller?
Yes.
Councilwoman Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Councilman Powers?
No.
Councilman Retta?
Yes.
Councilman Sheldon?
Yes.
Councilman Smiley?
No.
Councilman Street?
No.
Councilman Tackett?
Yes.
Do I get a chance to
vote?
No. If you can vote, the yes is a no. Do you understand the motion? Do you understand the motion?
Yes.
Is that what you're voting for? Yes, or do you understand the motion?
I vote for the proposal, for clarity.
Seven yes.
Seven yes, okay.
So the motion carries.
Yes.
So we will get a proposal from Mr. Boyle at some time in the future, then council will decide if we want to have the dual system. In the meanwhile, hopefully, I would think that we can get some wheels to turning to try to get clarity from the executive branch that, in fact, the agreement is signed, and that would, I think, put to rest a lot of concerns that is underlying issue for all of this to be occurring here. Councilman Powers, Councilman Street, Councilman Tack.
I've got a question, really, Jim, to make sure the budget reflects that I turned in a computer that was cross-shared $1,400 a year.
Okay.
And I want that computer to disappear and then come off the damn budget.
I will tell you that I turned in the computer and I told the person I turned it into that.
Well, then we should,
that should be reduced from my cross charge.
We just better make sure it's
I've made to that.
Yeah. Okay.
Councilman Street.
I just say for
get an agreement. Waste on this. We get it acknowledged. And then what happens if you find going down the road it wasn't adhered to?
I think it's a violation of the right, the contract. I think county attorney has said that.
Right.
That the agreement gives us the protection that I think is the underlying motivation for the concerns that's bothering a lot of council people. It seems to me the simplest thing to do is to have the agreement. I don't know why we can't. And I don't believe... Go ahead, Mr. Street.
Go ahead.
No, I think that's the only reason I would hope that we could get the agreement signed. I don't understand why it's not signed. And if it's true what the county attorney is saying, there's no intent to go into our emails. Just confirm that with a simple signature.
My question is enforcement. And so at the end of the day, if it's a violation of the contract, so now the enforcement is we sue?
No, the enforcement at that time is the legal recourse. So if they violate the contract between this branch of government that we have agreement to, then we have to take legal action.
Which would be
to sue the executive branch for violating, for breach of contract.
Move for impeachment.
For constitutional violation.
I mean, it's a constitutional violation.
I'm going to call on counsel to counsel for clarity.
Yeah, instead of counsel to counsel to counsel.
Right.
Carol Dillon, counsel to counsel. I think that public relations would probably resolve any problem long before a lawsuit. It certainly would be something among the branches that they would discuss, but there are, without boring everybody, there are different writs that can be pursued, injunctive relief, etc., to prevent someone from doing something. There are other legal mechanisms, but I would not envision that would be a necessity.
Thank you very much. Councilman Smiley.
And quickly, I would just say, if we send an agreement over, it gets signed. I would hope and expect that would be followed by the county executive's release of that agreement to all the staff, employees of New Castle County government with a direct, an edict that anyone caught in violation of that will be immediately and summarily discharged from employment. Simple as that. Yes. That way, we don't have to hear this. The county executive didn't direct anymore. That's fine. But whoever did it,
they're done.
They're gone.
Right.
So I'm just saying, while we're here, I would hope that that's what would be followed if it's signed. So.
Councilman Street.
She made my point for me. And if it can be dealt with in terms of public relations now, I mean, if we have something signed, then it should be dealt with in terms of public relations now. Quite frankly, we wasted an hour.
Yep.
And... You know, we got people sleeping on the street. We got 3 murders in 3 days. And we're sitting here having an hour-long conversation about a $4,000 computer system. So, you know, if it's going to be resolved through public relations, resolve it through public relations. But this, in my opinion, foolishness and this wasted time. We have bigger and greater responsibility. So, but the will of council, be the will of council.
Any further comment from members of council? Thank you very much. Any comment, further comment from members of the public? There is one other item on this agenda, discussion regarding unpaid FOIA costs. I believe Councilwoman Kilpatrick, that was your concern. Councilman Smiley.
I'm sorry. I'd like to try to expedite this if I can.
Yes, sir.
Okay, because I've spoken to Betsy on it as co-chair of finance. Don't want to get into names, but we have an individual who had made a FOIA request. The documents were produced. As according to our policy, they came in, looked through those documents, determined what documents they wanted, was given the cost, produced a credit card. We don't have the ability to accept a credit card because of a certain timing issue and to avoid any allegations of counsel. The documents were provided to the individual. The individual has not paid that bill. And talking to Ms. Gardner earlier and looking at our FOIA request, my proposal to council is this. Number one, we have the attorney send a letter to the individual reminding them there's a balance due and it's due owing to New Castle County Council. Second, we modify our FOIA request that outlines that prior to receipt of any documents, you'll be required to pay by cash or personal check because they don't know the amount till they come in. So put that on our forms so we're being open to the public and they know when they come in and we don't run into that again. Internally, we adopt a practice that if you are have funds due and owing Newcastle County Council for FOIA requests and you file another one, you will be informed that it will not be filled until you pay in full your outstanding obligation.
Well, we can add it
to the taxes. I agree. Any further discussions, or you want
to? No.
Motion to adopt all three.
I'll second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Any further comment? Dave?
Yeah, I had come to talk about Farmland Preservation Board. Unfortunately, David Carter. I'm Conservation Chair with Delarola Bond. But I wanted to talk to all the councils, so I'd just like to take a minute. I think the charge of whether it's an advisory board or whatever will be really important, because I think there's a lot of information that needs to be sorted out and a really good policy analysis done. And I would hope that the first step will be to really reevaluate and look at what is being proposed, to do a really good policy analysis, to sort out what is true, what is not true, sort out the differences of some of the legal stuff, which may be separated from it. I think it has a lot of potential, and if you can get through that and develop a good program, then I think you can have a board that can consider, based on approved criteria, how to do it. But the selection of that board is going to be really important, and that initial charge, whether it's a board or, quite frankly, you may need an outside advisory committee that's very well qualified to begin to give a arm's look look at this. And I'm not going to go into too much, but I do want to follow up on a letter that I shared with many of you last week. I did, since that time, get the FOIA back from of the documents from the Department of Ag that confirm that indeed the county executive did receive the information in advance, and in fact was reminded by text messages from the cabinet secretary that would have enabled the protection of 280 acres for a little bit over $5,000 per acre, quite different from the problem we're having. And the reason I think this board and this information is so important is we're seeing a program being developed for a very exceptional situation. And I really question from a policy perspective and a responsible fiscal perspective whether that is a wise move that expresses the responsibilities you have for public funds, and I don't think it does. There are options. I think there are still some legal options that should be pressed and explored to separate these out and deal with it different. For those that aren't comfortable with that, one other option may be to consider restricting for Mr. Warren, and clearly I reread the settlement, he's got the 200 some acres. I spoke with two of the other property owners from Port Penn Assemblage, and both said there's no way that Toll Brothers development is coming back, definitely not their land. So you're talking about a much smaller number of houses. Kent County is currently running 3-inch force mains into existing communities, Kitsamake and Pickering Beach and some others. Lipsick, they did a 4-inch main to restrict the amount of sewer, but meet sewer for those needs. Hmm. And you may just restrict that size to a very small force pipe with individual grinders, because the settlement is very clear. The developer and the landowner pay the cost to get to the road. And if you have to directionally drill a couple of inches underneath the road, it's much cheaper. And then if you're going to come back 30 years from now and that area is developed and put a much bigger system, then you'll have that option. So I think there are options that allow you to separate out this, to do it in a much more fiscally responsible way, and I hope the board will do it. I can leave you, and I do have, I did make copies, I think I have them here, with the permit numbers of what Kent County has done is one alternative solution. You will not protect Mr. Warren's farm, but you know, you're not going to protect every farm. You don't have that kind of money. But what I can tell you is for $3 million or $4.5 million, you can protect a huge, huge swath of Newcastle County, a huge area, if we are really thoughtful about it. And I'm personally really excited, really, really excited about what you guys are doing with this money, but I'm really concerned that we can do much better. This is, I can leave you a draft copy with some typos. I was going to email you all a copy. Just be aware that I may be on the blacklist and you may get checked out, because I've been asking a lot of questions. I apologize for that. But I will leave this information. I will send this, the copy to all of you. That was from the last week. This is a follow-up to that.
Okay.
For the record, I put you on my blacklist, not down.
And again, I have some contacts of some individuals, one who was oversaw thousands of acres of federal land protection while with the Director of Fish and Wildlife, and then spent 14 years as Conservation Chair for Nature Conservancy in Delaware, that's willing to help to do some of the analysis that would need to be done to really look at a program if you set up a good board to review this. But I think whether there's ill intentions or not, I don't know, but I don't think the information that has been shared with council and everything you're reviewing has been the best possible information to develop this program, and I'm going to do everything I can to help do that.
Yeah, I would encourage you, and I apologize that Council President Bullock is not here. I was told on Sunday, I think most council members were told either yesterday or today, and I was told before this meeting that he initiated this particular agenda item, and council members agreed that we would delay it, but I certainly would hope that you would be able to come back at the next meeting.
I will try to. If it's before.
Very valuable information. I wasn't here last week, but my aide did provide me with this information. So I'm certain that you are going to make certain that the information that you have is distributed to all of council members, because I think it's going to be a major policy stretch going forward. So we need all the information that we can get. At least I want all the information I can get.
I will give it to you. And you have what you're doing is wonderful. You have a tremendous potential here. If I had my way, I'd get you to put a whole lot more money into it, but I just want to make sure it's really done and used well.
Okay, thank you.
Just one comment. When we talk about a board, something that is not a temporary board, we are required by state law to have a board that is four members, and it's, the board is put together through the legislative branch in each county. Each county is required, if you have a farmland preservation program, you are required to have a board.
So does it mean that the legislative branch selects all members,
yes,
or is there a mix?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
All
yes.
The members?
Yes.
The board.
Yes.
Okay, very well. Thank
yes.
you very much.
I think that's helpful.
Yeah. Mr. Boyd.
Now let's go. We'll make this quick. Just to clarify, this is not for the new board, okay?
Okay.
This is for, I don't know a lot, okay? And I asked that it be postponed because I did not do the work on it. But apparently it's due to a letter from the executive director of Delaware Agricultural Land Preservation Foundation, okay? And it's regarding a board that was created in 2002, and then I think it was reaffirmed in 2006. And I believe the chairman is normally a council member.
Correct.
Okay. And I think there's four or five members that have to be in the farming industry.
Right.
Okay.
Correct.
But, and that's as much as I, to be honest with you, that's as much as I know. But it sounded like, I just want to clarify, because it sounded like it was a new board, but this is an existing board.
I got a nominee if they legalized the farming of marijuana in time.
Or hemp.
No one over
there. Hemp is supposed to be industrial.
It's a lot of information I'm getting here. So obviously we're going to have further discussions on this particular item. Hopefully you can join us when you watch our agenda.
I've been through the previous county program.
Any additional comment questions for members of council? Members of the public? Mr. Moore, did you have anything to adjourn?
No. Motion to adjourn before he does.
Second.
Second.